Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. As we got started with this last week when we got together, we'd again point out that there's a great turning point here in the book of Romans, where Paul comes now for the next three chapters to talk about the nation of Israel. Now, he's mentioned the nation of Israel quite a number of times already, but now he's going to spend the next three chapters speaking of God's plan and purpose with the nation of Israel. And I think it's instructive to us that he puts this right in the middle of the greatest New Testament book of theology that we have. If you've been studying along with us Romans 6, 7, and 8, then you know that some of the deepest truths of the mystery of God is revealed. Well, chapters 9, 10, and 11 now seem like they're talking with a subject or addressing themselves to a subject that we might think we don't have any part of. But you know, God foresaw all of church history, which is why I keep bringing up the seven letters to the seven churches, so that we will always be mindful of the historical perspective of the so-called outward professing church and the developments of the nation of Israel and how it works together. Well, it's really too bad that most of the denominations apparently don't read this part of the book of Romans. Most people that use the book of Romans simply as a soul-winning manual, pulling out half a dozen verses perhaps and using them as a type of salesmanship, if you will, just to get people saved. They haven't even studied chapters 6, 7, and 8. But they certainly have completely neglected 9, 10, and 11. Now, why would the nation of Israel find itself solidly in the middle of a book that Paul wrote to a Gentile church? Well, because of what I said a moment ago, God knew the historical perspective here before the history was ever written, before the history ever occurred. He knew exactly what the Gentile churches were going to begin to do. And what did the Gentile churches do? What has been the attitude towards the nation of Israel, and Israelites in particular, for the last 2,000 years? You must know something of it. What's been the general attitude? Loudly, please. Against them? Okay. Why? The Jews are pushy? They sure are. They're not easy to get along with, are they? There are a lot of pushing Gentiles as well. But the Jews seem to get singled out, don't they? They know that they're God's chosen people and they just don't like it. Well, is the church chosen of God? If you look at all the promises made to the nation of Israel and all of the promises made to the New Testament church, and you could decide which group you wanted to belong to, where would your vote lie? I know nobody wants to answer that because then I'm liable to ask why. But I can't promise you I won't, so. The church is the bride of Christ, sure. What else? Joint heirs with Christ. Is that ever said of the nation of Israel? Okay, the nation of Israel is God's choice. what sphere, geographically speaking, does Israel occupy? It's an earthly kingdom. What's the sphere of the bride of Christ? Yes. Heavenly. The further we go with this, the less sense it makes. Any ideas? This is an important issue today, which is why I interrupted our study of anthropology, which the Lord willing will get back to move over and do a study on the nation of Israel, because it's important. It's important today. We as Christians ought to know these things. What about the Catholic Church? The Church of Thyatira. What's its relationship with the people of Israel been? Now, there was no nation of Israel, was there? When did the nation of Israel cease to exist? AD 70. What happened? Pardon? Yes, Titus came in and burnt the temple and moved them all out, made slaves out of them and moved them into the nations. When does God deal with Israel in the Scriptures? No, historically, when has God dealt with them? Was the diaspora that began in 70 AD the first time that they'd ever been moved out of the land? Had it happened before? When? Okay. When they were slaves in Egypt. That was before they went into the land. Mm-hmm. Had they had another time that they were out? What do we know about the history of the nation of Israel right off the top of our heads? What about Nebuchadnezzar? What did he do? What about the Assyrians? What did the Assyrians do? Where did the 10 tribes go? Who removed them from their land? No, because they weren't there when Nebuchadnezzar came down. In 600 B.C., they'd already been carried off captive by the Assyrians. When does God deal with Israel? When they are in the land. This is something handy to know. God's time clock runs when Israel is in the land. They have not been in their land for nearly 2,000 years. When was Israel reborn as a nation? 1948. That's what makes that year so important. A lot of other things happened that year too, as we've learned, right? What was the reaction of the world to the reconstitution of Israel as a nation? I still don't see any fireworks and cries of joy going up from the nation's capitals. Who's that? The nations? Oh, they had plenty to say about it. They sure did. How did Israel get it start in 1948? Hal Lindsey may cover some of this stuff, I don't know. But these are important things for you to know, because the next three chapters of the book of Romans are going to deal with the fact that God is very much interested in the nation of Israel and very much interested in the Israelites. So I'm trying to help you build a base here of things to think about when you hear Hal Lindsey talk. Oh, that's what he's talking about. How did it come about? How many of you ever heard of Lawrence of Arabia? Interesting. Well, maybe Hal Lindsey will bring that up. The way that Israel came together was a miracle, and yet all of the nations were against it. The British had a mandate to rule what they called Palestine. By the way, why is it improperly called Palestine? That should tell you what the whole world thinks about it. What does the term Palestine mean? The land of the Philistines. Anybody seen a Philistine lately? Seen a bunch of characters in Washington that strongly resemble them, but I don't think they're actual descendants of the Philistines. Now, why would they call the land of Israel the land of the Philistines? Interesting. Who did Ben-Gurion phone when they decided the British mandate to rule Palestine has expired? It's time to make our move. They didn't call London. God used this nation. If it had not been for the United States of America, they'd have been crushed. We were the first nation to recognize the new state of Israel. I know a lot of people wonder, how is America getting away with some things that God judged other nations a lot quicker for? There have been a few things that this country has done that were right. That was one of them. God is very much interested in the nation of Israel. But all the world is against them. Well, let's see if we can figure out why. Chapter 9 and verse number 4. Who are Israelites? Well, we talked about what it means to be an Israelite last time. To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed, forever. Now, by the way, I read that. You were probably counting some things on your fingers. There's a whole bunch of things here separated by commas. Did you notice that? Let's see what we can learn from this and see if we can figure out why all of the nations of the world hate Israel. That was a perceptive answer, that they're envious. Verse number 4 again. Who are Israelites? By the way, what does the name Israel mean? Loudly, please. No. Yes. That's quite a title, don't you think? Did God ever call anybody else a prince of God and make that his name? Let's see. Can we think of one? I can't. Can you? There's strike one. What's that? Yes. But God changed his name to Israel. All right. Who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption? Now, what does that mean? The first of a bunch of things separated by commas in this verse that really chap the hide of all the nations of the world. If Paul wanted to draw up a short list of reasons for the world to hate Israel, he's done a bang-up job right here. Who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption? What adoption? Yes, that they would always be his people and they would always have that land. What was Abraham before he was a Hebrew? He was a Gentile that dwelt in Ur of the Chaldees. There weren't any Israelites then, were there? But God, according to election, chose Abraham and called him, and he became the first, since he's a man, Hebrew. See, I gave you a little device to remember it. What does it mean to be a Hebrew? One who has crossed over. The adoption. Has God ever adopted a nation other than Israel? Now, don't you suppose that chaps the hide of the average American? We think of America as God's country, don't we? America is not God's country. It's a country that's been much blessed of God. But it's not God's country. Does a Christian have any promise of an earthly inheritance? Really? You mean Benny Hinn is wrong? You mean if you send him the seed money, God doesn't really owe you any earthly inheritance? Ooh. I wondered why they never read this much. Why do you suppose the Episcopalians don't read this very often? Why do you suppose the Pope doesn't read this very often? What about the Presbyterians? I asked you a question a while ago, and I'm going to come back and ask it again. What's been the relationship between the Catholic Church and Jews over the years? What was the Inquisition? Loudly, please. Yes, they accused a lot of Christians of being heretics, but it's generally lost on people that the Inquisition was rooting up and killing Jews, too, simply because they were Jews. What was Luther and Calvin's view of the Jews? Was Hitler a Lutheran? I don't know either. What about the Protestant countries in Europe? How did they treat the Jews? No, they didn't want them there either. It wasn't just Ferdinand and Isabella, the Catholic monarchs of Spain, that drove the Jews out. The Protestant nations in Europe didn't want them either. Murdered them. Great pogroms took place against Jews living in Europe. What about the Russians? At least their church is Orthodox. Well, why do you think they call it the Russian Orthodox Church then? Did the Russians treat them kindly? You don't know? Many of them, that's true. Many of them, that's true. The so-called professing church doesn't have a very good track record in the way it's treated the Jews. That's the point that I'm trying to get across. What do the Muslims think of the Jews? This should be easy. Of course. They'll blow themselves up if they think they can take a Jew with them. So the great question is why? Well, here's a short list of why in verse number 4. The adoption. And then after the adoption, and the glory. Now, what's that mean? What glory? That's true, but if we were to look at this as being past tense, because the nations that hate the Jews think that God's all done with them. Most of Protestantism thinks that. Whether you realize it or not, most stripes of Baptists do too. It's one of the reasons I sometimes seem like I have a burr under my saddle when it comes to Baptists. They haven't done so hot either. What's this business of the glory if we were to look at this as being past tense? Let me give you a hint. Suppose you were in Pharaoh's army and chasing him up out of the land of Egypt. What would you have seen? Uh-huh. You might have seen something else, too, before they even got to the Red Sea. A pillar of cloud by... And a... Wow. They saw that. Would you say that those are manifestations of the glory of God? And wasn't it Pharaoh that told Moses, now, you can take the people out, but only 3 days' journey, because otherwise they'll get lost in the desert and won't be able to find their way. Didn't Pharaoh say that? Yes, he did. Looked to me like they had a pretty good pathfinding system. Wouldn't you? There weren't any GPS satellites in those days, but God apparently knew the way through the wilderness. Were there other times that the nations might have been able to behold that somehow the glory of God was upon the nation of Israel and not any of the other nations of the world? Who came up out of Israel? Or out of Egypt, I'm sorry. Yes, but I'm talking about a broad cross-section of the people that came up out of Israel. Were they all Israelites? Doesn't the scripture say that there was a mixed multitude that came up out of the land of Egypt? There were a lot of camp followers that came up too. What might they have witnessed? Because Pharaoh's chariots weren't very buoyant, it seems. So the army was cut off, but what about that mixed multitude that was following? Because word certainly would have gotten back, wouldn't it? About some of the things that went on out in the desert, what might they have seen? Loudly? Okay, in what way? What might they have seen? Yes. All you have to do is name off some of the things that happened out there. Yes, Miss Elsie. Yes, the manna. Would that be a sign of the favor of God? Sure. What else might somebody that was an Egyptian that was just going along for the ride and later going to report back have seen? Certainly, water out of a rock. Would you say that that would be a manifestation of the favor of God? Not a whole lot of water out there in that desert. I guess that's why they called it a desert. What else might they have seen? Their shoes never wore out. What else? All you'd have to do is read a couple more of these things and it would come right to you. What happened at Mount Sinai? Very good. Thanks, Barb. Did God ever speak to another nation on this whole earth? Has there ever been a nation on this whole earth that heard the audible voice of God? Paul is bringing up a list of things here that points out God's special favor of that nation. And by the way, did God ever say that Israel would always occupy that place of favor? Or was this a limited time offer? Because the next word is covenant, isn't it? And we already know that there are two kinds of covenants spoken of in the scriptures, which are conditional and unconditional. What about the promises or covenants of God concerning the longevity of the nation of Israel? Is it always going to be around, or was that a conditional covenant and they blew it? Loudly, please. Always going to be around. Who has a Bible? Will you look up Jeremiah 31 and verse number 35? Barbara, since I saw you put your hand up, but everybody else can look too. Jeremiah 31 and verse number 35. Start reading it, please. Keep on going.
I will also cast off all the evil
That's good. What did you get out of that that you heard Barb read? Let me ask you a question. Did the sun come up this morning? So then, what does that tell you about Israel? Yes. Do we need to have anything plainer than that? God's covenant with Abraham concerning the nation of Israel was unconditional. Now, all of the theologians of the Catholic and Protestant and Baptist churches put together can say something to the contrary, but who are you going to believe? Those theologians or the Word of God? It just comes down to that, doesn't it? The Protestants have been teaching replacement theology for 1,000 years. The church has replaced Israel. God's done with Israel. It's over. And the fact that there's a nation by that name today in the Middle East means nothing. And so if the Muslims want to stomp it out, we'll help them. That's the attitude of the Catholic and Protestant and most Baptist churches today. But is that the attitude of God? Verse number 4 in Romans chapter 9, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, strike 1, the glory, strike 2, the covenants, strike 3. Usually it only takes 3 strikes and you're out. The envy of the whole world is turned against Israel for these very things. And God is far from finished with Israel. Look at chapter 11 and verse number 1. We'll just skip ahead here. I say then to what? Chapters 9 and 10. Hath God cast away his people? God forbid. What else needs to be said? Let's go back and pick up our verse for tonight. Chapter 9 and verse number 4. Who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption? No other earthly nation has ever been adopted by God. You can call it God's country all you want. Ain't going to make it so. I'm thankful that some of God's people live in this country, but it ain't God's country. Israel is God's country. And the glory, God has never manifested his glory before any other nation that has ever been on this earth since the days of the Garden of Eden, like he did to Israel. Never happened. And the covenants, God never entered into covenants with any other nation after the manner that he entered into covenants with the nation of Israel. Ain't never happened in all of history. And the next clause, and the giving of the law. Now, if you listen carefully around here, you will constantly hear me say, the law is not your friend. The law is a killer. But the law is also a statement of the holiness of God. Did God ever reveal his holiness to any other nation in a code of laws? None whatsoever. By the way, was that code of laws binding on any other nation? It wasn't even given to any other nation. So much for the Galatianizers. that want to make the law of God apply to Christians. And the service of God. Has any other nation ever been allowed as a nation to serve God? Stop and think about that. Where did God put His temple? East St. Louis? Downtown Akron? Pittsburgh? Huh? Israel! In the city of Jerusalem. And no place else. Why do you suppose the Islamo-fascist butchers are so interested in maintaining control of Jerusalem? Does Jerusalem mean anything to a Muslim? Nothing. City's not even mentioned in the Quran. You know, when you stop and think about these things, don't a lot of things start coming into focus? And a lot of things that, gee, I always wondered about that. Now it makes sense. No wonder all the nations of the world have no use for Israel. And the promises. Whose are the fathers? And of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came. Boy, that really chaps their hide. But we're going to have to wait till next time for that. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we want to thank You tonight that we have this timely reminder of Your relationship with the nation of Israel. And Lord, as we study this in the book of Romans, it helps us in our minds put everything together concerning Your plan and purpose for all of humanity. Israel has a place in it. We have a place in it. The nations of the world have a place. Lord, help us to understand these things and put everything in its right place so that we'll have a perspective. Dear Lord, now we just ask You to dismiss us with Your grace and Your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.